grace did much more abound. And I'm thankful for that truth. I'm thankful for that example. Thank you for the song, Miss Glenda. And I'm thankful for the great year that I've had. As Pastor said, I moved up here almost a year ago. It has been an amazing year. I have had some great times. I have had some struggles. I have had some blessings, some battles. But the one thing I can attest to, as Brandon played earlier, he has been so good to me. He has been good to me. And if I were to stand up here today and to boast about all the goodness of the Lord, we would be here until next year. We would be here until next year because he has been so good to me. And Pastor, just a note, you mentioned the fact that you're still waiting for a Christmas present. I still have a onesie with your name written on it. Miss Andrea is probably not going to let him wear it. But anyway, even still, I'm thankful for the opportunity it is to stand up here and to preach today. I'm thankful for the opportunity that it has been to work with the youth in the back. I know today is just a little different, just in the fact of usually with some of the youth, some of them are sitting down, some of them are laying down, some of them are near the stage right now. So, just with that note, if someone wants to stand near the stage, if someone wants to lay down, it'll make me feel a little bit more comfortable, but either way, I'm excited about preaching the word to you today. So, if you would take your Bible today, if you would turn to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is where we're going to be at today. The book of Galatians chapter 6. From this passage, from this theme, I want to give you an encouragement. I want to preach to you the word of God. So Galatians chapter 6, we'll be starting in verse 11. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own name, with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair shoe in the faith, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cause of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you, be with your spirit. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing on the message today. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I ask you to open your ears and your hearts to what the word will have to say to you today. And I want you to ask yourselves, God, what is it that I need to hear? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. You have allowed us together as a body. One body, one heart. To hear your word. And to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you for the great singing and the great fellowship that we have had this morning. And Father, we come before you now wanting to hear from you. Father, we are your flock. And we come with open ears and hearts to what your word will have to tell us today. And I pray, Father, if there is one in here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, Father, that we'll make that decision before it's eternally too late. I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross, Father, so that you and you alone will receive the glory. And at the end of it all, Father, that everything that we say and do will lift and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today I want to ask you, by way of introduction, I want to ask you a very simple question with the help of this passage. It's the end of 2017. We're coming to the end of 2017, almost to a new year. And as we come to the end of another year, we can look back and we can remember all the achievements, all the accomplishments, and all of the accolades not only done as individuals, but also as a body of believers and as a church. And as we push forward into 2008, as we push forward into 2018, as we push forward into a new year, I pray that each and every one of you have a prosperous 2018. I pray that each and every one of you have a blissful 2018. But today I do not seek to preach how to have a better year in 2018. I do not seek to preach having your best year or your best life. When I ask this question that I'm about to ask, I want us to truly ponder our answers. I want us to truly ponder what we are going to say. Because Paul here in this text gives us this clear answer. Here's the question, and it's the title of my message. Where is my confidence? Where is my confidence? Now, before I address this, before I get to this question, I want to address some things about the chapter in the book that we're in the book of Galatians. This is a letter written by Paul to the region of Galatia, and we know, the church of Galatia, and we know that every letter that Paul had written to every church that he established, there was some sort of opposition that these churches were facing. Either it was with persecution, or either it was with false teachers who had slipped into the midst of the body of believers, and they were perverting the truth of the gospel. The book of Galatia, the book of Galatians is no different. The church of Galatia was no different. There were Jewish Christians or Judaizers who came in and perverted the gospel preached unto this church by Paul by saying that there were some old traditions that they were to keep. There were some old traditions in regards of the Old Testament law, in regards of obedience to the law, in regards of circumcision that they had to keep. In all of this, let me wrap this up into one bit. It was a legalistic mindset that said you are to follow to law and obey it to the letter. And this is how they were addressing salvation. They were addressing salvation as to the definition of this. Salvation is about what you do instead of what has been done. They were addressing salvation as to the point of what you do instead of what has been done. When I thought about this, we think about the President John F. Kennedy. One of the most famous statements was, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." I think when we think of John F. Kennedy, we think of that statement first and foremost. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I want to try and take that and say what the Judaizers were saying here. Ask not what God can do for you, but what you can do for God. This is the mindset that they were at. And I've heard preachers use this before. And it is a great statement. But this is how they were defining salvation. They were saying it is in what you do for Christ. It is in what you do for God instead of what God has done for you. That's how they were defining salvation. And this was the mindset, and this was the perversion that was taking place within this church. And we ask that question, where's my confidence? We ask that question, where is my confidence? As we go through this entire book, and we come to Galatians chapter 6, to the passage that we read, we come to verse 14. And this is where this message was birthed from. Verse 14, Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Let me put it to you in another translation. It says, "But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, be it far from me to boast in anything. Be it far from me to boast of my accomplishments. Be it far from me to boast of my accolades. Be it far from me to boast of my achievements. Be it far from me to boast in how many churches I have established. Be it far from me to boast in how many Christians I have won to the Lord. The only thing I can boast in is in the cross. The only thing I can boast in is in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think about that question, I ask you the question, where is your confidence? We talked about how they were defining salvation. Saying is not what God has done for you, but what you can do for God. That's how they were defining it. Say, okay, well, I've been to church every single day of the year. Every single time the church is open, I'm there. Every time there's an opportunity to serve, I'm there. Every time there is a chance to tithe, I'm there. Every time there is a chance for me to participate or to serve, I'm there. I'm willing. But I ask, is that where your confidence is at? Is that where you can boast in? When we think of boast, we think of it as a sign of arrogance and of pride. As soon as I immediately mention that word boast, I think about it in regards of arrogance and pride. But Paul himself was very transparent. Paul was very real about himself. Anytime he shared his story, he always made mention as to who he was before he was a Christian, before he was a missionary, before he was the greatest missionary outside of Jesus Christ. We remember that he was a persecutor. We remember that he was a murderer. We remember that he drugged and led Christians to jail. Paul made no boast about the fact of who he used to be. He always mentioned it. He says, before I was this, I was this. So if you take away all the accolades of Paul, how many churches he established, how many Christians he won, how many young men that he ministered to for the cross of Christ, if you take all that away, where was Paul's confidence? What is it that Paul could boast in? Well, Paul, it wasn't arrogance. It wasn't pride. It was a testimony. He said, I can't boast in anything except for the cross. That is all I can boast in, is the cross of Jesus Christ. And I ask you today to think about that question as to where is your confidence? Where is your confidence? Is it in your accomplishments? Is it in your accolades? Is it in your achievements? No. I encourage you and I pray that your confidence, that your boast is in nothing but the cross of Jesus Christ. And when I think about the cross of Jesus Christ, here's two things that I see. The cross of Jesus Christ was a glorious significance. It was a very glorious significance. Matter of fact, as I studied this passage and I read over this passage, I love verse 14 because I underlined where he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the one thing I wrote under there. In the fact that the cross means a glorious significance, I wrote this question. I said, where would I be today had it not been for the cross? The cross was a glorious significance. Why? Because of the Savior who died upon it. It was because of the Savior who died upon it. Last week, we celebrated his birth. He came wrapped in flesh, lived a perfect life, and then would go to die on a cruel, rugged cross. And it was a glorious significance because of what it brought. And Paul says, I can't boast in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ. And he asked the same question that I did. Where would I be today had it not been for the cross? Where would I be today had it not been for Jesus? It was a glorious significance. But the cross of Jesus Christ was not only a glorious significance. The cross of Jesus Christ was also a gruesome sight. It was also a gruesome sight. And as much as I want to talk about the wonder of the cross of Jesus Christ, I will not take away from the wonder of Jesus, the wonder of the cross of Jesus Christ, without speaking about the wounds that it dealt to Jesus Christ. Here's the picture that I want us to see about the cross of Jesus Christ. It was the beauty plus brutality. You cannot have one without the other. Beauty plus brutality. And Paul says, this is what I can boast about. This is where I find my confidence. How so? Here's the theme that I've equated to my life. The Christian life is a journey. The Christian life is that of a journey. It is not a sprint. It's not a 40-yard dash. It's a lifelong marathon. It's a lifelong marathon. There's going to be good days. There's going to be bad days. There's going to be days where it's easy. There's going to be days where it's hard. But nevertheless, my confidence, my boast, should be found not in what I have done, but in what He has done. It should only be found in the cross of Jesus Christ. And as we look at this text, as we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, I'm going to talk about the beauty of the cross, but I'm also going to talk about the brutality of it. Here's the first thing I'm going to mention about the cross. The first thing I'm going to mention is about the cross. It's about the cross brought suffering. The cross brought suffering. When I mention the brutality of the cross, I think about the suffering that came with it. I think about the suffering that came with the cross of Jesus Christ. There was a heinousness involved in the art of crucifixion. It was not just a Roman practice for those who were tried and those who were punished as criminals. It was not just a Roman practice. It was thought of and perceived long ago before the Roman Empire came to power. Nevertheless, the art of crucifixion, it was the Romans, though they did not perceive it, initially they perfected it. When I talk about the cross and I talk about the suffering that it brought, I want you to listen to this. First, the prisoner was scourged by Roman soldiers, either beaten by rods or whipped with lashes that would be fastened with any sharp object, with any sharp object that would rip flesh from bone. After this, the prisoner would have to carry his cross. He would have to carry his cross to the place where he would be crucified. And then the prisoner would be nailed to the cross and raised roughly 3 feet off the ground until death came from suffocation, from starvation, or from thirst. Some would die in hours. Some took days. Some lasted a week. Let me take that and put it to the point that we're talking about here. Some suffered for hours. Some suffered for days. Nevertheless, the cross brought suffering to those who carried it. Jesus Christ suffered. We're reminded in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You think about the suffering. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was slapped. He was spat upon. Ultimately, he was crucified. That's what happened to my Lord, to my Savior. That was the suffering that he went through. And Paul doesn't take away from this. Paul says, if I'm going to boast in the cross of my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ, I know that the cross brought suffering. Would you look at verse 17 and what he says? Verse 17, he says, from henceforth let no man trouble me. And look at the next statement. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not diminish the fact that he suffered. He does not lessen the fact that he suffered. He said the cross brought suffering. He says, guess what? I bear those marks as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 4 and 5 says, in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in torments, in labors, in watchings and in fastings. In 2 Corinthians 12, 7, he mentions that he has a thorn in the flesh. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Paul went through suffering. Paul suffered. It wasn't an easy life, Paul. Was he stoned? Yes. Was he persecuted? Absolutely. He wrote this letter to the Galatians from prison. Paul went through suffering, whether it was pain, whether it was persecution, whether it was inward, whether it was outward. Paul said, I am bearing the marks of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. He knew that the cross brought suffering. And as we grow closer to the Lord, as we grow in the faith, as we mature as believers, may we realize this. May we realize that the cross of Jesus Christ first brought suffering. You think about the battles that are going on in your lives. Whether you're facing physical pain, whether you're facing pain inward, whether you're facing pain outward, you're bearing the marks of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the cross brought suffering. But not only did the cross brought suffering, not only did the cross bring suffering, but the cross brought shame. The cross brought shame. Amidst the brutality of the crucifixion, there was not only a suffering that came with it, but there was also a shame that came with it. There was a shame that came with it. And as we picture that, let's remember what we had talked about earlier in the introduction. Let's remember what we talked about earlier in the introduction about what the Judaizers were doing, about the perversion that they were doing to the people in regards of their salvation. But we know that the cross was a humiliating death. The Jews detested this death. They detested this method in that if they had the choice, if that they had the choice of whether to be imprisoned or whether to be killed in another fashion, they would not have chosen the cross. They would have not chosen this method of execution. Even so, Matthew Henry makes this comment in his commentary that princes knew this, royal leaders knew this to be a humiliating death, and so much that they, by mercy, would have their victims strangled. They would have their victims killed and then crucified to a cross. Why? Because it was a humiliating death. You see, the cross of Jesus brought about the shame that came with the suffering. It brought shame along with the suffering. It was a humiliating death. Even so, Paul mentions that here in the book of Galatians. Galatians 3:13, he says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it was written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Now we know Paul was very well versed with the law. He was very well familiar with the Old Testament law. And he takes, being well versed with the law, he takes a snippet of the law to remind them of the shame and humiliation that came with the cross of Jesus Christ. Because this statement that he mentioned, that curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, was mentioned in the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, 22 and 23, it said, if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all the night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is a curse of God, and that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. What Paul had mentioned in Galatians 3:13 came from the law in Deuteronomy. It said, cursed is everyone, cursed is anyone that hanged upon a tree. Let me put this here. Christ was not accursed, but he was willing to take the curse of the law upon himself in order to redeem us from the curse of the law. That's a tongue twister. Try saying that about five times really fast. But Christ was not accursed, but was willing to take the curse of the law upon himself in order to redeem us from the curse of the law. It not only brought suffering, it brought shame. And Paul makes a comparison here with the cross of Jesus Christ and the teaching of the Judaizers. I want you to look at verses 11 through 14. Paul has talked about it here. He says, ye see how large a letter I have written unto you in mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the faith, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they suffer persecution for the cause of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Here's what Paul is saying. Here are the words of Paul. He says, I am crucified unto the world. I bear the marks of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I only boast in the cross of Christ. I don't boast in my accomplishments. I can't boast in my achievements. This is my only boast. I can boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, as we looked at the text and we read the text, compared that to the words of the Judaizers, they were constraining the people. You have to hold to the old traditions. You have to hold to the law. You have to hold to the law. You have to be circumcised. It's not about what God has done for you. It's about what you can do for Christ. He says, I boast of my obedience to the law. I boast of my obedience to the law. I boast in the fact of how well I obeyed the law. How well I've obeyed the law to the letter. And that I've not only the obedience to it, but the circumcision. And I can boast in that. Those are the words of the Judaizers. But Paul says, I can only boast in the cross. I can only boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. If I were to sum up what Paul says, I'd sum it up in three words. I sum it up in three simple words. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. So I thought about that line. I thought of the title of a movie that I watched. Actually, it was a true story of the teenage girl who was killed in the Columbine High shootings, Rachel Scott. The title of the movie was called Not Ashamed. She knew who her Lord and Savior was. She knew who she served. In amidst a perverse generation where she was at, she was not ashamed to boast about Jesus Christ. Her story still touches millions and millions of people to this day. But Paul said the same thing. He says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I live now, I live in the flesh. I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, Peter was put to this test as well. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. Did the cross bring shame? Yes, but I'm not ashamed to be identified with Jesus Christ. I will bear the marks of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because yes, it brought suffering, and yes, it brought shame. But guess what? I'm willing to bear the marks, and I'm willing to take the shame. What do you think about that? How many of you, have you ever told anybody that you're a Christian and you get a weird look from somebody? You identify, say, yeah, I am a Christian. Yeah, I do live for the Lord. And you get either the weird comments or the weird look. You see, Peter was put to the same test as well. Peter says, I'm not going to deny you. Says, though others may run, though others may lose their faith, I'm going to stand firm. If they ask me if I'm a Christian, if they ask me if I'm associated with you, I'm going to tell them straightforward, yes, I am. Jesus Christ said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter was put to the test. Christ was led away. Peter followed afar off. He came to the crucifixion, surrounded by people, warmed himself by the fire. Three times he was asked, weren't you with Jesus? Weren't you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And all three times he says, I know not of who you speak. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know him. Peter was put to the test. And I ask you, when you are tested in that manner, if someone were to go to you and ask you, are you a Christian? What would your answer be? What would your attitude be? Hey, I know you. I've seen you at church. Are you a Christian? Are you identified with Jesus Christ? Would your answer be, I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're saying. Or would it be, I can boast that I bear the marks of my Lord and my Savior? The cross brought shame. The cross brought suffering. But also the cross brought struggle. The cross brought struggle. It says, I bear the marks of my Savior. I bear the shame of the cross. I endure the heinous suffering as well as the humiliating shame. And I ask, would this be an easy task? This is what Paul said. He says, I'll bear all of this. Would it be easy for Paul? Absolutely not. I remember a missionary named Hemant Patel. Some of you may be familiar with him. But he preached a sermon once, and the one thing, he preached a sermon from Hebrews, and he said a line which was very straightforward. He said, Christianity is not for cowards. That Christianity is not for cowards. If you think that it will be easy, if you think that it'll be easy and there is not going to be a struggle, there's not going to be a hard struggle, then you are greatly misinformed and very deceived. It is going to be a struggle. Even Christ said, in this world you will have tribulation. The cross brought struggle. And when I think about that, not only did the cross Jesus brought struggling, it brought shame, but it brought about struggle. I think about the Via Dolorosa. I think about the Via Dolorosa. It's a Latin word, the way of sorrows, the way of suffering. See, as I said, every prisoner was required to carry their cross to the place of their crucifixion. Christ was to be crucified on a hill called Golgotha. The Via Dolorosa was believed to be the road that Jesus would walk after being beaten, after being whipped, after being scourged, after he endured all the suffering before the crucifixion. He was to carry his cross, which weighed upward to 80 or 100 pounds, maybe over 300 pounds. After everything that he went through, to carry a cross 650 yards all the way to a hill called Golgotha. The cross of Jesus Christ was not an easy thing to bear. It would bring about struggle. Along with the suffering, along with the shame, it was not going to be easy. But nevertheless, Paul says, I'll bear it. Paul says, I'll bear the suffering. I'll bear the shame. I'll bear the struggle. I'll endure it. Because this is exactly what the cross brought. This was the brutality of it. But now I get to talk about the beauty of it. Yes, the cross brought suffering. The cross brought shame. The cross brought about struggle. Let's speak about the beauty of the cross. Because in the end, the cross brought salvation. The cross brought salvation. There's a familiar story that I've read before. It's the story of the four candles. It's one of my favorite stories to think about. But a little boy had seen four candles in the store. And he had been saving up money for these four candles because this is all he wanted, was just four candles. And so he saves up his money, he gets these four candles, and he's so excited that he has these candles. He takes them back to his house, he takes them to his room. He lights the candles up. It looks so beautiful. And then he leaves the room. And all of a sudden the candles start talking. In an audible voice. And one candle says, I am peace. But no one wants to fight for me anymore. And then after he said it, the candle died out. The next candle says, I am love, but no one is teaching me to love anymore. Then all of a sudden, the candle went out. The next candle said, I am faith, but no one wants me anymore. Candle blew out. The boy comes back into the room. The boy comes back into the room, and he sees three candles out. He begins to get sad. He begins to get depressed. He says, you were supposed to burn forever. You were supposed to never burn out. And as he's depressed, and as he is sad, there's still one candle that's lit. And the candle says in an audible voice for the boy to hear, I am hope. And as long as my candle still burns, I can relight the others. You see, the cross was heinous. The cross was humiliating. The cross was hard. But I want you to look at Galatians chapter 5. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 3 says, "For I testify again that every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of none effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, which ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." The cross was heinous, the cross was humiliating, the cross was hard. But the cross brought hope. The cross brought hope. You see, the Jews were told, your hope isn't holding to the law. Your hope is holding to the law and obeying it. And guess what? If that was still true today, and I had to hold to the law in every aspect, I had to be perfect in it, then I would have no hope. I would have no hope whatsoever. Because that would be having me to be perfect in every aspect and not failing one time. I would have no hope. But guess what? The cross of Jesus Christ brought hope. It brought salvation. Romans chapter 8, 24 and 25 says, "For we are saved by hope, and hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he hope for? Why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And in Titus 2:3 says, "Looking for that blessed hope." Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Though the cross brought suffering, though it brought shame, though it brought struggle, the cross also brought salvation. It also brought salvation. In verses 15 and 16 of chapter 6 of our passage says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them." There's no advantage to circumcision. Christ brought hope for all. Whether you're circumcised, whether you're uncircumcised, whether you're black or whether you're white, whether you're Jew or you're Greek, Christ brought hope for all through the cross. It says, "Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Even though the cross brought about brutality, it brought about a beauty as well. In the end, it is not me that receives the glory and the honor. I don't receive the glory and the honor for any of the accolades, for any of the achievements I've done. I don't receive any glory and honor for the things that I've done for God. In the end of it, it is He that receives the glory. It is Christ that receives the honor. It is Christ that receives the praise. In the beauty and brutality, Paul today can say, "I can not only boast in the brutality of the cross, but I can boast in the beauty of it." You ask, where was his confidence? Where was it that he could boast in? It was in this. It was not in the bondage of the law, but whether in the suffering, the shame, the struggle, and the salvation of the cross. So I ask you today, where is your confidence? Where is your boast? We come to the conclusion of this message as a simple question. Where are you? Where are you? There may be one in here today that all through 2017, maybe through all your life, have been in bondage, either to sin or either to the law. Well, can I encourage you today? Because of Christ, that bondage does not have to have a hold upon you anymore. You can be free from it. You can walk in liberty. Put your faith, put your confidence, put your trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work upon the cross. And then I ask another question. Where is your confidence? Where is your confidence? Is it in your accomplishments? Is it in your accolades? Is it in your achievements? Is it in your attitudes? Let me ask you, if you were to lose everything, if you were to lose everything, what and where would your confidence be? Paul said it simply in verse 14. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ. The beauty and brutality of the cross, that was what Paul could boast in. And I pray that as we go into 2018, as we venture into even the 2019, even as we venture into Monday, may our confidence, may our boast be in the cross of Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word. Lord, in that, Father, I thank you for the beauty and brutality of the cross. Father, I've said it once, I'll say it again. Had it not been for the cross, where would I be today? And I believe that's the testimony of many here today. And Father, I pray that as we go into this invitation time, that Father, you will convict hearts. That if someone needs to make a decision for you, I pray that they will do so before it's eternally too late. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake.